of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
I do want to get back on this area. Last week, since it was Resurrection Sunday morning, I asked the Lord if He had something else, to give us as far as that. And I believe He did, just kind of gave me something that was good, it was fresh, talking about it is finished and the different ways that that phrase was used in that culture. But we weren't quite done with kind of a series that was a series that was inside of a series. Or I don't think it was inside of a series. It wasn't intended to be a series. I preached a message that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart regarding faith, and then the next week He gave me a little bit more about faith, and the next week He gave me a little bit more about faith, and then I thought I was done, and then He spoke to me a very clear word. And the word that He spoke to me that next week, if you remember, if you listened, you can remember this. You can do everything right regarding faith, in faith, operating in faith. But if you are out of covenant relationships or operating outside of covenant relationships, your results are still going to be stifled. And the scriptures that we got, that He gave us on those, the first one He gave us was 1 Corinthians 13, where it's talking about the love. And again, remember there's two levels. There's love that we owe all men. And again, if you step outside of that love, if you're being a genuine jerk in your daily life and to people around you and, there was a conversation I was having the other day, that there was a legit, everything inside of me wanted to be a jerk to this person. And they deserved it. They're from AT&T. And they have a reputation with me. And I wanted to be mean. I really wanted to be, we changed our, changed our service to, from DirecTV to Dish Network. And so they gave me my final bill. And I was just kind of like, that doesn't make sense. And, well, yeah, but that's our policy. I said, but your policy doesn't make sense. And I was starting to get riled up. And I was like, no, I can't do that. And so very calmly I said, okay. This is why we're glad we're not with you anymore. Have a good day, And I stayed gentle because it wasn't going to do me any good to get upset. It was just going to step me outside of love. We owe all men, no matter if they're Christians or whether they're heathen, whether they voted for the person you voted for, whether they voted for the person you didn't vote for, whether they have, whether they're the same color skin as you are, or whether they're a color of skin that you've never seen on earth before. I don't know. We owe all men love. That is bottom line. So when you, again, I believe this way. I don't understand it. I cannot fathom it. There's so many reasons to dislike people. I don't understand how color of skin is one of them. I can't fathom how just looking at a person and going, oh, you got a different color of skin than me, and so I'm going to dislike you. That doesn't make sense to me because, man, there's so many other reasons why you go, you do this, you do that, you think, you said this, you did this to me. There's so many other reasons to dislike people. Why? What does this color of skin have to do with anything? That doesn't make sense to me, but yet there's people out there, there's Christians out there who treat people that have different color skins than them differently. And again, that's dumb, it's ignorant. And beloved, if you're treating someone wrong, because of the color of their skin. I'll just say it like this, okay? If you're racist, and racist doesn't have anything to do with who you vote for or how you view certain things, racism is about looking at people and treating them different just because they have different color skin. And if that's you, beloved, you're not operating in love. And that will affect your blessings. It will affect what you get from God. You can do everything else right. You can confess until you're blue in the face. You can be happy and joyful and all that kind of stuff until people want to lock you up because you're so happy. You can do all those kind of things. But if you don't have love, beloved, it profiteth you nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. He says, if you don't have love, all you are is a noisemaker. If you're a pastor and you're teaching people and you're like throwing this at them, but you have not love, you really need to sit down. Because all you are is just a tinkling cymbal. Ding, 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 ding. See, when John hits the cymbals, we're kind of like, cool. As long as he's not like just, I mean, we're like, cool. It's in rhythm. It's he's playing the cymbals. Now, I'll even, you know, maybe, well, there was a time in Tulsa, I'm not sure anymore. I don't know how much he plays anymore, that Reese. But let's say Savannah. I'm not trying to throw Savannah under the bus. But if Savannah got a hold of a stick and just started banging on the cymbals, we might think it's cute for a moment. But there would come a time and a place where we go, that ain't cute no more. Mom, Dad, if you ain't going to strangle her, we will. Right? And that's all that, when you are preaching and when you are teaching and when you're doing things and all that kind of stuff and you don't have love, you're just annoying. That's the check I always have. Why am I preaching what I'm preaching? Because if it's not about love, then either I got to change why I'm preaching it, or I got to just quit preaching. But see, love, foundational. But then there is another level to love that is what we understand as covenant relationship. It is the covenant love of Almighty God, and it is an intimate, intricate, and binding relationship. Again, we're not intimate understand, we're not intimate in love as far as the relationship with just anybody we meet. If I go to, you know, Walmart and I'm, and I happen to decide to go through a line that has a checkout person, I am not sitting there having to be open and honest, with her or, you know, if she says, hey, would you help me move tomorrow? I don't have to. I can with love say, I don't know you nothing, baby, you know, that kind of stuff. But now with you guys in here, those of you that have connected to us and that have become my beloveds and I'm your beloved and we are, if you ask me to do something, I owe you more. There are intimate, intricate, binding relationship. This is a deeper relationship. And then, now again, I could take that up a level and say that with my spouse, it is even deeper and stronger than that. I think maybe next week or the week after that, we're gonna do a little bit of teaching on family relationships as far as in covenant area. It'll be good. I was been doing some studying on it. I think we're gonna go there. It should be kind of fun to get into. But the wife is that next level, is even deeper than that because that is a more intimate relationship. But the covenant that we have with one another is still that intimate, intricate, and binding relationship. It's deeper than anything else that we have. You may have a relationship. I'll leave that alone. I think we've covered that. But Galatians says that, beloved, sometimes your faith is not going to work. Well, faith does work because of love. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, faith worketh by love. And so, let me say this to you. Let me use this illustration. Everybody in this room, I think everybody in this room, most of you in this room drive. And you drive your car, you'll drive it on US 60, go 45 miles an hour, maybe 55 miles an hour, depending on where the speed limit is. You'll drive it on back roads going 25 or 65, whichever one is posted on those back roads. You'll drive on the interstate and go 70 to 75 miles an hour because that's the speed. But you know what? Most of us in this room probably would not qualify to effectively drive a NASCAR or a Formula One car. NASCARs go up about, what, 190 to 200. Formula One go faster than that, don't they? Those go even faster. Most of us would not qualify for that. Your instincts, because when you're driving our cars, and even if you're driving, you know, 70 miles an hour, you got to have some kind of instincts. You can't just be kind of like Mosey and go, oh, I better start braking. Look at my foot. It's going to get there soon. Oh, you know, you still got to go, oh, got to put my foot on the, slow down a little bit, all that kind of stuff. But when you start going 200, 220, 240 miles an hour, you cannot, you don't have chances to go, should I brake? Is that, did I see their taillights or their brake lights ahead of me? I don't know. You don't have time to process things. You better respond quickly. And you better have good, because there's more power in what you're doing. So now, if we understand that, as just regular Christians who love, there's power in love. And there's a lot of power in love. Just like there's power when you're driving 80 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour on the interstate. If you hit something, that's a lot of force hitting whatever it's hitting. It's going to cause a lot of damage. But if you were to get in a NASCAR going 200 miles an hour, it would cause that much more damage. And so a lot of people, when they get into covenant relationships and they start breaking things down. Now, the specific thing that God told me, I could teach on love in this area and we could understand it a lot. Just because it would fit with, even with love. But he really wanted me to get into that area. He spoke to me specifically about the covenant relationships that we're not, that when you don't take the covenant relationships as serious as you should, or as when you get loose in those areas, it becomes more costly. And it really begins to stifle the faith that you're working at. Now I don't know about you. I know about me, and I know that I don't, if I'm working something by faith and walking something by faith, I don't want anything standing in the way. And again, I gotta look at myself in this, right? I can't just sit there and say, hey y'all, God said this to you all. No, he's saying it to us, is that we've gotta guard ourselves. We've gotta protect ourselves, in the area of covenant relationships. Now, specifically, go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want to just share this scripture, and I'm going to bypass several things. But this is what the scripture that the Holy Spirit gave me on this area. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And that really struck me. That was the thing that the Holy Spirit, he showed me that, and then he spoke that to me. I wrote it down there real quick, alongside of what he spoke to me. And that's the picture of covenant relationship. It's how our hearts become knitted as one. And so when you start messing around with the heart, if your spouse, you know, you fall asleep and you wake up and they've got some kind of little contraption where they've opened up your skin and they're poking at your heart, you go, why are you doing that? Maybe you do that. I don't think you maybe not couldn't say that. Because that's gonna cause some damage. And so that's the picture. What we're getting is that when we have knitted our hearts together and we have come into relationship together and you start messing with that, it begins messing with your harvest and your faith that you've put to work. I'm not saying you don't have faith. I'm not saying you don't, you're not walking by faith. And I think that was one of the things the Holy Spirit, he showed us so many good revelations in that three sermon span regarding faith that was so good and so just I loved. And then to top it all off, he said, "You can be doing all that kind of stuff, Because there's a good chance that most of you all, when I went through and I taught on that kind of stuff, you're like, yep, 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 okay, maybe need to work on that, but yeah, I'm not bad on that, yep, yep. And you went through and you understood things, you had all that stuff under control. But he said you can do all that stuff and have all that under control. But if your heart has been knit together with someone and you're playing around with that, you're playing with something very vital. in a marriage ceremony, we went to my nephew's wedding yesterday, Caleb. They got married, wonderful young lady, so we're excited for them. But if we went to a marriage ceremony, and part of that marriage ceremony, you had a doctor there, and he would cut apart both persons, and he would stitch their hearts together. Now, obviously, it's probably not a thing, but if it was a thing, okay? And so now they had to walk around right here with their hearts, you know, somehow there's a plastic, and they had to, it really cut down on cheating. It really cut down on not spending time together. It would really cut down on, you follow me on that? I know it sounds silly and everything. But literally in the spiritual sense, when you come into covenant, that's what you've done. And so when you start messing around with that, a husband that's not spending time and not loving on his wife, and maybe whether he be cheating with another person or another lady, or whether he just be he's cheating just by not spending time with her, maybe he's not as committed to her as he once was. He's playing around with that. People who, and again, this is just, I'm sharing this, I'm speaking this. People who have joined and committed themselves to a body of believers and to a pastor and to a minister. And then they start playing around with that. They start, these areas that we've been talking, the three areas that we've been talking about, and we'll mention them in just a second, and they start toying with those things. And they're not as consistent in those things. What they're doing, and they don't realize it, but they're messing around with that heart being knit together, and it becomes a very dangerous thing. It becomes a very dangerous thing that if you don't address, it will mess with your harvest. It just will. Now, the three things that the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to me that we need to guard ourselves, that get kind of, the Christians can kind of get a little weak on, in that it was the areas of loyalty, faithfulness, and integrity. And again, loyalty, we already talked about this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, really presents the picture of solidarity, of oneness, of one mind, one thought. If you remember my illustration of Allison last week being a part of the Midway University, and so she has a rooting interest in the softball team, in the baseball team, in the soccer teams, and she doesn't show up to their practices per se, but when she hears that they do good, she gets happy. She's excited that they do good. She's glad that they're going to the tournaments or to the national tournaments or whatever. She likes the fact. Why? Because she's got a loyalty, a solidarity, a oneness with them. I'm a Cub fan, and I'm not sure at what point my wife became a Cub fan. I don't know that she grew up one. Did you? Or maybe she was. I think she grew up not a Cub fan, but she really didn't have that baseball team. But when we got married, I was a Cub fan. Her brother, soon after we got married, became a Cub fan. So she, and my kids are Cub fans. My nephews are Cub fans. My parents and my sister, Julie, are Cardinal fans. So we don't talk with them during baseball season. But she became a Cub fan. And so we have, when you're truly a fan of another team, you have a loyalty to that team. There are certain teams you don't cheer for. I have never, ever in my whole entire life, ever, 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 not for one game, ever, ever, never have I rooted for the St. Louis Cardinals. Ever. Never will. Never will. I don't care if they're facing a team of murderers and gang members. I'll be like, hey, gang members, do your work. Take them out, man. If they're wearing Cardinal red and they got that bird on their hat, man, torch them. Light them up. I mean, you know, we'll deal with the rest of the stuff later. Cause I will never, because I'm a Cub fan. Now there's other ones that I can cheer for. I'm going online today or tomorrow and I'm going to buy a Royals t-shirt. Cause if I'm going to go to a Reese's baseball games, t-ball games, I got to wear a Royals shirt. I'm not going to go there looking like some punk just out there to watch a game. I got to cheer for one team. So it's okay. The Royals are no threat to the Cubs. They're not arch rivals. Matter of fact, they hate the Cardinals as much as we do. So we're all good on that. But see, there's a loyalty to the Cubs, so I don't cheer for the Cardinals. Now, there's a loyalty to the Cubs, and there's a baseball player that has on the Cubs that reminds me a whole lot of Ryan, my son. His name's Chris Bryant, and he's got the beard, just like Ryan. He's just a good-looking kid, just like Ryan. So he had this tendency. Jesse and I, you know, had cheered for him since he's a rookie. And he just reminds us so much of our son that we just, there's this part of us that when we, I've never gotten nervous for one person in baseball ever getting a bat, except for Chris Bryant, because he just kind of reminds me of my son. But anyway, he's been struggling. And so the other day, I get angry when people dog him online, all kind of stuff, because they're dogging what it feels like my son, you know. But I just told Jessica, I said, yeah, he needs to pick it up. He's kind of struggling. She goes, don't you mess with him. I said, I'm not messing with him. I said, he's just struggling right now, and he really needs to pick it up because people are really getting frustrated with him, and you know, he's just, quit it, stop it. No, we don't mess with him. We don't mess with Chris Bryant. Don't. You need to figure out how her best gift at her birthday was it your birthday? I bought her a little Chris Bryant doll for her desk. Stop. Don't mess with him. Now she got loyal with me. It wasn't like she was going, well, she may have. I don't know if I'd have gone too far. But I realized she's got a loyalty to that team. And she got a loyalty to Chris Bryant. And do not mess with Chris Bryant. Do not mess with the Cubs. Do not mess. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, right? Cause, and that's where loyalty, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with loyalty is that we've got each other's backs. We are one heart, one mind, one soul, one thought process, which is his. If we're in covenant, our covenant isn't based on my blood. Our covenant is based on His blood, so it's got to be His mind, His heart, His thought. Amen? Some pastors have that mixed up. Now it's about me. You guys got to agree with me. It doesn't matter if it matches what He says. You got to agree with me. No. That's preposterous. It's got to be His mind. But we're of one. We're one. We're on this thing together. We want to see one another succeed. We want to see one another, this person get a raise, get a promotion, get that. We want to see things work for one another. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. Is that we enjoy one another. And then faithfulness. Is placing the word that we use for faithfulness really is value, which in other words, you value that relationship. So there's actions that back up your value. So again, because I place such a high value on Jessica in my covenant, I do things for her I don't do for other people. I make myself more available to her than I make myself to other people. Because I value it. I show up daily to pick her up from work. I show up daily to just to be there, and if she needs an ear to talk to, that she can talk to me. I'm faithful to her. I'm not spending my time. I might come to the church, or I might go play golf or something like that. But when all is said and done, I'm back with her. I'm back next to her because of the faithfulness. So actions back value, and that's faithfulness. So that's the picture that we had of Allison being loyal to Midway. A lot of that loyalness is shown by being faithful to she works study where she goes and she works different games and stuff like that. Well, she shows up early. She shows up when they need her, and she shows up where they need her, and she gives her best effort. That's faithfulness. It's being there and doing what you need to do. So not only is she loyal to them because it's Midway, because it says that on her shirts and says that on her sweatpants and all that kind of stuff, she's faithful to show up and to do what she needs to do to make her the best representative of Midway. You ever had someone that you know that graduated the same college as you graduated, maybe graduated in the same degree you graduated from, and were horrible at their jobs? and you're like, you ain't giving my school this a very good name. Then they've not been very faithful to that. All right. I'll move on. I know I've taught that, but it's been a couple of weeks, and I don't want to move on. So again, we're not just talking about things. The upper room, they were in one accord. They were not just there being faithful about their duties, but they were there and their hearts were mended together. They were of one. They were one. They actually loved. They're loyal to one another, not just there. Can we say it like this? Why do you do what you do at the church? Well, I show up every service, and I play in the worship band. I show up every Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, and I do some cleaning around the church. I show up every whatever service and teach the class I need to teach. I show up every, but why do you do what you do? Do you do it only because, well, I have to do it? Or do you do it because you're loyal, and you're like, no, man, my covenant partners need me to do it. They need me there. They need me to clean the toilets so that there's not diseases and junk growing on the underside of that and germs and they're not sitting down in fear for their lives. They need me to do that. They need me to mow the lawn. They need me to spray the weeds. They need me to vacuum the floor so that it's not gross when they come in here. So it's a comfortable environment. You follow me on that? You can be faithful without being loyal, and you can be loyal and be found unfaithful. We got to have both of those areas operating in one. All right, I got more in there, but I want to hit this last part fairly. Man, I got so much I wanted to get on that, but I don't because I don't know that I'm supposed to do this another week. But the third one that we didn't get to 2 weeks ago is that area of integrity. And integrity, if you go online and try to find a definition of integrity, it's really actually very hard to find a given definition. Many of the definitions are morally whole or morally solid or whatever. And it's you're going, but what does it mean? There was a time in my life where I would simply say, I don't know what integrity, I couldn't give you a definition, but I'll know when I see it. And I don't really think that's how most people are. But the best thing that ever happened to me was when I looked at the word and found out where it came from. The word integrity is based off the word integer. They're same word, same foundation word. And if you don't know what an integer is, an integer is a number that is not broke apart into fractions or decimals. It's a whole number. So in other words, one is an integer. There's not a fraction of it, 1.5. No, there's no fractions in integers. Integers are whole numbers. And when you understand that, that gives you the full definition. It just means that I'm not hiding anything. There's nothing in me that I'm not giving you part of myself. I'm giving you the whole thing. If what you see is what you get. In other words, people start talking about, well, it was just a white lie. So you were holding back just a portion of the truth. So what you told them was 90% right. That's a fraction, baby. That's lack of integrity. It's not an integer. Right? What was the best you did in your preaching the sermon? Well, I could have probably done a little bit better. So you gave 90%? That's lack of integrity. I'll pick on me. I could pick on the piano player. How much did you give when you're up there? Well, I could have done more, but my brain was over here. My thought pattern was over here. I was thinking this. I was thinking that. So you maybe gave 95%. That's a fraction. You're not giving us the best. I believe she gives her best because she has to follow me. So if she's not on the ball, she's in trouble. But you follow me a little bit about how integrity can be so important when you were dealing with the covenant. I mean, there's more of it, and I don't know that I can dare even get to that this morning. But when you are not giving your all into a relationship, even if you're presenting it as your all, that's a lack of integrity. That's a lack of wholeness. It's a lack of giving your best. Here's where it just gets so weird in the definitions. Webster's defines integrity as an unimpaired state, moral soundness, upright and purity. Those all sound great. But what do they mean? They all mean, think about it, an unimpaired state. That means whole. Right? That means that you got all. Uprightness means it's right. Allison took a test the other day, a math test, a calculus test, right? And it was two parts, and the first part she did not do well on at all. And it just surprised her. She couldn't believe it. She was like, I know I did it right. I thought I knew it. I thought I understood it. She was kind of stressed out about it. Well, the professor went back and gave her partial credit. She didn't get all things right, all of them right. But he said, you did 90% of this problem correct. You just missed it in this step here. So because you understand it, you just missed this part. So I'm going to give you partial credit. So she didn't get all of it. It wasn't all right. Right? And God says, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's made us right. And so if He's made us right, beloved, we got to walk rightness before Him. Amen. There's more to that, but purity. Purity, we understand that. Is that pure? Pure means it's legit. It's all the way through. It's pure. That's what we're dealing with integrity. A, when you talk to somebody, are you holding back truth? Are you kind of telling them what the whole truth, but not the whole truth? That's lack of integrity. When you're doing things, when you're operating inside of covenant, are you giving your best? Or are you kind of acting like you gave your best, but you're not really? That is lack of integrity. Amen. Integrity is simply to stick with one's conscience without being swayed by popular opinion. Stand up for what's right, be right, do everything. Don't hide anything. Integrity is being honest even though it may harm you. Integrity is not being a fraction of yourself, not hiding part of who you are. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about remember the story of the Gibeonites? I think it was Joshua 9. They've just taken Jericho. They've just taken Ai. And Gibeon's hearing that they're on the way. And they're kind of freaked out. So they get the plan that if we can get into a covenant or a treaty with them, then we'll be okay. They can't take us. Now think about that. Would not it be seemingly to us, if they fooled you into making a contract with them, wouldn't it seem like it would be okay to go ahead and break it? And it would be, and again, it would seem like it would be like, yeah, that's right. But see, they knew the fact what it meant for covenant. They knew that if they made a covenant, that they had to stand in their integrity of their words, stand in the integrity and defend that. And not only can they not attack us, but they have to defend us if attacks come against us. And again, that's the picture that we shared last or 2 weeks ago that David, remember when David was king and he was trying to figure out why things weren't working? They're doing everything they knew to get stuff to work. And God, and he finally went to God and said, God, why? And God said, it's because you broke that covenant back there. But see, Israel was so, people knew Israel so much that they knew if we can make a covenant with them, they will not go back on their word. They cannot go back on their word. They cannot and say, but we're going to do this because it's, no. You got to give your best, got to give your all. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9. We're just going to go as quick as we can here, and when we're out of time, I'll just stop. And we're almost out of time. Hallelujah. And I don't. God did a good thing in worship, so I'm not. I don't apologize for him or worry about it. But where did I go? All right. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. God is speaking to Solomon. And he says, if you will walk before me as David your father walked. So now he's going to describe how David his father walked. In integrity of heart, in uprightness, to do according to all, notice all. You're not holding anything back. You're not hiding anything. You're giving all you have, all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom on Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, and there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. He said, David, this was key to David, is that I had all of it. He was a man of integrity. Now he messed up, and again, we know he messed up, and we know we repented, and we know he paid for it, but he stood before God and said, I messed up. And that's a bold thing for a king, for that man to do. But see, David had integrity. The kind of integrity that even after his buddy, the one he made covenant with, died on the battlefield, and even though he wasn't there to back him up, he gets on the throne and he says, man, I got to find someone in existence that I can continue this covenant I've made with Jonathan. I gotta look somewhere and find to keep this up because I cannot pull back. I cannot stop short. I think it's good for us. You know, yesterday we were at the wedding and Emily and Caleb were giving their vows to one another. And it reminded me of standing up 24 years ago. Sheesh. 24 years ago in front of, over in Georgetown, Kentucky, and looking her in the face. And have I remembered those vows? Have I done what I need to do? Have I kept promises I made to her? Or have I kept the ones that were convenient to keep? Sometimes we make promises, we make pledges, we make, and we think, well, I wasn't really thinking about that. That has nothing to do with it. Do you understand that when you're in covenant, and we talk about this from time to time, and I'm not doing a good job of moving quickly. When you're in covenant, every word you say is a covenant word. In other words, if I would tell Ruth, tomorrow I'm going to come out to your house and mow the yard. I'm not telling you that, Sister Ruth. If I were to tell you that, and then tomorrow things get a little hectic, and things get a little out of hand, and I maybe this happened or that happened, the other happened, You understand? I go, well, at least I didn't promise it. I just told her I was going to do it. At least I didn't promise it. I'll call it. I'll tell her I can't do it. Maybe she can get someone else to do it. No, if we're in covenant relationship with one another, then the fact that I told her I would is written in blood. The blood that our covenant was based on. And sometimes we don't think about that. Sometimes we don't think about that. Sometimes we think that well, he understands. How many here know that Pastor Thad, if you told me you were going to do something and you'd call me and say, I can't do it, how many know Pastor Thad's not going to send out a search warrant against you and send out a bunch of thugs to drag you over to make sure you do that? How many know? You guys know that? I hope you know that. Not a lot of you are agreeing with me, but I wouldn't do that, okay? I'm not going to do that because, hey, I love you. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. It's integrity. If you say something, you are bound to that. In other words, everything you say to one another, you ready for this one? Everything you say to one another when you're under covenant with them, literally could and should, I mean, you don't have to say it, but could be backed, or it actually is backed. It's backed by the blood, and it should be backed with, so help me God. That's how serious your words are with your covenant partners. Honey, when I come home tonight, I'll do the dishes for you. So don't do the dishes. I'm going to do the dishes for you. And then your day goes longer. And you had to work overtime. And you had to make a couple things. And while you were at work, a couple people asked you to come over and take care of a couple things. And so you thought, well, I got to help them out because their situation is needful. So you went over and helped them out with some stuff. And by the time you got home, your back was sore, your hips were sore, your knees were sore, your ankles were sore, your hands were sore, your head was sore, everything was sore. And all you want to do is sit down and rest. And your wife, or your spouse, I'll say your spouse because we don't know which way it was. Your spouse loves you, very possibly already took care of the dishes, just because they love you. But do you understand when you said, hey, when I get home tonight, I'll take care of the dishes, because of the covenant that you have, it's so help me God. I know that this is kind of tough preaching here. This is the level the Holy Spirit was saying, is that a lot of times we try to really walk by faith, and we start allowing the things about covenant to slip. And we don't take them seriously as God takes them. See, understand this. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross is the seal of the covenant you and I have together. That's the seal. So when we make promises and we speak to one another and we take it lightly, we're taking that seal lighter than it needs to be taken. See, what does this, well, Pastor Thad, what does that mean? That means if you can't do it, don't do it. Don't tell them you'll do it. That means if you've told them you'll do it, move heaven and hell to make sure it gets done. I mean, we're dealing with integrity, and I got to wrap it up. I'm out of time. I know that. And I don't want this to be something heavy. I know it seems heavy, but covenant honestly is heavy. That's why it sits there and they go, if we keep the covenant, blessing will be upon you. I'll bless those. I will help you. I will defend you. I will back you up. I will provide for you this. I'll provide for you that. But if you break covenant, I will hunt you down. And I will slice your body into a million pieces. And I'll save your eyes so we can watch the goodness of God manifest on my life. And I will throw every piece of your body into rubbing alcohol just so that if something were, if part of it did still have feelings, it would sting like crazy. And I will feed your body to 650 different animals so that you cannot rest in peace. And I know some of y'all are going, you're being silly, Pastor, that. Oh, no. Nah. What I'm saying is easy compared to what some of the stuff. So I'll slice you up and hang you upside down by your toes. Was it Livingston that went and searched for Stanley? And he said that when they were making the covenant, when the covenants were made, and they exchanged gifts and stuff like that, and he said they said all these really nice things about the blessings that they were going to be on there, and he was like, oh, that's cool. And then he said all of a sudden, the chieftain started spewing the most vile, foul things you could ever imagine anybody speaking. And he's like, what's this? And he goes, well, this is the curse of the covenant. If you break this covenant, this is what will happen to you. And a few seconds later, the guy next to him that was interpreting for him said very similar things back to him. So it is a heavy thing. But it's a freeing thing. Because when you see, it's not, I don't have to sit here and sit there and go, oh, I have to be faithful to Jessica. I have to be honest and integral to Jessica. Oh, no. No, I love the lady. She's mine. And the reason I walk in integrity, the reason I'm loyal, the reason I'm faithful to her is I just love the dickens out of her. And see, all of a sudden, that makes it a whole lot easier to stay in. But see, when we get sloppy, that's all I'm saying. When we get sloppy, when we let things up, I may continue this because I didn't get anywhere close to end of actually really teaching in the area of integrity. But when we mess with that stuff, beloved, here's what the Holy Spirit said. It starts messing with our harvest. It starts messing with our faith. And it makes our faith not as effective as it should be. Amen? And so we got to... got to watch ourselves. Guard yourself. Holy Spirit, stand with me. Holy Spirit wants us to today just to examine ourselves. Don't make anything up. Don't sit there and say, well, that one time 7 years ago, I told Pastor that it's always bothered me. And maybe that's the reason things aren't working. Don't start trying to stir stuff up. That's not what I'm saying. But if there's some areas in your life that you're like, man, I've been letting this thing go. Matter of fact, I told Pastor Thad I would do this, and I have not done it. I've told covenant partners. Maybe it's your spouse. I'm starting a couple weeks early, maybe talking about the spouse part of it. But maybe it's your spouse that you've told them you'd do something for them, and you just have not done what you need to do. Amen. We need to identify it, and then just say, okay, Lord, forgive me. Perhaps you need to go to your covenant partner and says, I've messed up, but I'm not going to mess up anymore. But we need to just get back on it and get back on the blessings. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And I'm so grateful, Father, for your blessings, that your promises are yes and absolutely. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. So be it. That's what your blessings are. That's what your promises are. And Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are enlightening us to this. Now again, Father, I know, I hate times where I preach, where I start feeling like people are going, oh, this is heavy to stand underneath. I don't like that at all. But I also understand that there's sometimes that you need to get our attention. And when something is, you know, we need to maybe feel the weight of what's being said so that we'll take it with the seriousness that we need to take it with. And so, Father, today I pray, Lord, that there's nobody in this place that thinks anything is being said out of manipulation or coercion, where something's been tried to do something. But that we all just simply understand that this is the voice of God saying that, you know, how you treat one another is how you treat me. That's why love is so important. What you've done to the least of these brethren, you've done it unto me. But that next level is that when we have come into an agreement, to a covenant with one another based on the blood of Jesus, when we take those covenants lightly with one another. Yeah. I got you. When we take those covenants lightly with one another, that we are, we're breaking a covenant with you. And none of us want to do that. You've been more faithful than we even ever could hope to be. But it's our job to show you our faithfulness to you by obeying you and doing all those kind of things, yes. But by being faithful, loyal, and operating integrity with one another. So, Father, if there's areas that we need to correct, reveal them to us. Show them to us. And if we're doing a good job, let us give more. Let us do more for your kingdom and for the covenant we have with you. I love you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.